Hi, everybody. Welcome to Real Life Sci-Fi. I'm Wade.
I'm Willie.
And I'm Erin.
This is a podcast about the paranormal and contemporary mythology. We have a Patreon, patreon.com/reallifesci-fi, 2 bonus episodes a week. Join us on Discord. Find it somehow. I don't know. And
reallifesci-fi.show. You'll find the link there.
Oh, yeah. We've got this whole link tree thing. I guess I'll say it. Real Life. I didn't know if that was into the mic or not.
It was. Reallifesci-fi.show. Reallifesci-fi.show.
Let's welcome aboard the SSRLSF. It's filmmaker and philosophy nerd, Stephen Reedy.
Hello.
Do you go by Stephen?
Stephen.
Okay.
Definitely
Steve.
Stephen.
You don't like Steve.
My stepdad's name is Steve. That'd be way too weird.
Got it. All right.
Plus, you're a PH Steven.
PH Steven.
So that'd be weird. I'm just calling you Step
Hen.
Oh, yeah. Like Steph Curry.
The hot
right?
girl in kindergarten called me Step Hen, and I'm like, I appreciate this form yeah. of flirting.
Yeah, I'll be your Step Hen.
Yes.
Step on me, or you won't.
Well, thanks for being here.
Thanks.
So
for
you,
me.
You're a self described philosophy nerd, but. You're also into, I mean, they teach you for it. It's also a profession. They pay you to teach it.
By accident, that happened. You know, it's just that thing when you spend enough time and energy doing anything, eventually, someday someone goes, do you want money to do this and this over
That
here?
Has not been my experience whatsoever. No one has ever offered me money for anything.
Okay. Well, I was very lucky. That's what's happened. Primarily at... an institution called the Philosophical Research Society, which was founded by...
The PRS.
The PRS. You know PRS.
Oh, yeah.
That's literally what it's called.
Well, I just put the first letters together.
No, that's the whole... It kind of has a layered thing, Philosophical Research Society and Philosophy, Religion, Science. And the whole thing is like, let's just explore every worldview related to those topics.
Yeah.
I live by there, and I every time I drive by it, I'm like... I should go in there.
I'll give you a tour.
Wait, where?
it's right down the street.
Yeah,
on Los Feliz Boulevard and Griffith Park.
That building that I've never known what it is.
Every single person in the world thinks that same thing. I live near it, right?
Yeah.
I was a fan of the author who's like the author who founded the place was like a Joseph Campbell before Joseph Campbell, right?
Oh God. Okay.
Same exact thing. Just like what are the myths and symbols
yeah,
of everyone?
Yeah, sure.
What do they mean? Maybe.
Right.
He founded that place. I was already a fan of his books, and I lived down the street from it.
What's the guy's name?
Manly P. Hall.
I've never
Manly
heard that.
Manly P. Hall?
Yes. He's a fountain of knowledge.
Okay.
Plus, you should.
No, but
plus
so
you should see
he actually traveled the world and collected.
It's
Say what?
He said you should see his urethra. It's butch.
My God. We're off to a great start.
Well, he's got a Manly P. Hall.
Anyway, no, you should check it out. He traveled the world and just studied every culture up close. There's like books and relics in there that like the Getty borrows for exhibits.
Wow.
Yeah, it's like a historical landmark in there. So it's just cool. And you could, on Thursdays and Fridays, you could like read the books, the ancient books and stuff.
What would happen if I just walk into that building? Is it just open?
The library, the famous library is open Thursday and Friday. But okay. Besides that, there's a bookstore where they just sell books on basically every world paradigm, culture, etc.
We got a dude laughing up here. Store?
There's a bookstore.
I get very excited about bookstores.
I'll show you the bookstore.
It seems like you're making fun of him.
I'm not. My favorite part of Iliad is the two little shelves they have for these kind of topics.
Exactly.
And
yeah.
I always clean them out when I find
stuff. It's like those two aisles turned into a small building.
Oh, God. Dreams. Yeah. Dreams.
Yes.
So you go there. I just don't understand. So they pay you to go. Do you teach like a class there?
Yeah, I do. The basics of esoteric symbolism.
Did you just hang out enough there that?
That's actually what happened. So back 11, 12 years ago, I was in my apartment and I was reading a book on ancient symbolism, and I close it, and at the back it says published at, and the address is like two blocks from me.
Sure.
I'm like, what the? So. I walk there the next morning And I just like kind of sneak in. I text everyone like, if this is a creepy cult, like, and they kidnap me and put me in the dungeon, here I am. Send the FBI here.
Yeah, a couple statues outside that are.
Well, yeah, there's a statue of Hermes Trismegistus, the Egyptian deity, the Egyptian slash Greek deity, with a Hindu quote on it. It's like, well, that's weird because that's very ancient Western plus. Yeah. Eastern philosophy, yeah. Like on yeah. the same statue. Right. It's right there. Everyone yeah. drives by it on Los Feliz Boulevard. Like millions of cars drive by it every day. So I walk in there. I'm like, what is this place? And I'm like, oh, they have like lectures and classes and stuff. So classes on mythology from the first one I took was Jonathan Young, who was Joseph Campbell. He was mentored by Joseph Campbell about comparative mythology.
Yeah.
You know, cool. that kind of thing. So yeah, I just attended a bunch. And then one day they're like, hey, you know stuff. Do you want to teach a class?
Whoa.
I'm like, cool. Because I'm a very immature person. So I could take dense stuff and then say it like immature, with immature simplicity. That's right. Like my only skill. But that could be useful because this is some like heady shit. And I'll read like the 50 books that are hard to read. And no, they're really, like eating yeah. tree bark.
Yeah.
And then I could be like, oh, it's kind of like, you know.
Yeah.
So that's sort of the service I offer, I guess.
Great service. Yeah.
Taking trees in and giving out toothpicks. I don't know.
Amazing. Yes. The ones that taste like they're bathed in cinnamon.
The cinnamon,
oil.
Yeah. They're good ones.
I love
yeah.
those ones.
Cool. Well, so like we do something here. I was gonna ask you how into sort of like paranormal and contemporary mythology you are, but I feel like it's best answered if we just do the sob scale.
Yeah.
The sob scale.
Sob scale.
So I talked to Steven on Callie's show, and we did this on Callie's show.
We didn't have a crying baby.
So no, we couldn't get it working.
Psychedelic noises.
Are you using our material on other people's shows?
Well, it just seemed like all the conversation was just like Callie being like, so what do you guys like about me? And
this is live.
Yeah, I know. Hi, Callie. Are you there? Hi, Callie.
Jesus Christ.
I love Callie, so I can say these things about her. She knows it's true.
It's true. We love you, Callie.
And it was like super cute, but I was like, ah, yes, but what about the rest of the hour that we're here?
Well, speaking of that, we've got to get through this.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Sorry.
Sob scale is a 5-question quiz. At the end, I will rate you anywhere between a 0 and a 5. If you're more of a 5, you're more of a believer. If you're more of a 0, you're more of a skeptic. I forgot to say sob scale stands for skeptic or believer.
Oh, okay. Not son of a bitch.
Not son of a bitch. Okay. Right. Are you ready to be weighed on the sob scale?
I'm ready to be weighed.
First question, 3-parter. I'm like fucked up tonight. I don't know what's happening. I can't get my words right. First question, 3-parter. Do you believe in aliens? If so, have they visited Earth? If so, have they visited Earth in the last 300 years?
I can't say I believe in aliens, but it would be rational if they existed statistically. I have not had an alien experience. I loved the show X-Files and sightings growing up. They have to exist, but I'm not going to say I believe in something until I've touched personal evidence myself, because that's also important when we talk about the study of invisible or subtle things. The second something weird happens to me, I'll be like, yeah, I'm leaning in the direction of believer, but I can't say that.
I would almost say that's a no.
It's a 1% no. It's 51% no, 49% yes.
All right, so
but
yeah.
because I'm actually more skeptic than not. That's why it's
we'll
so
weird.
We'll
be the judge
I'm
of that.
Shit.
Please do not give yourself a
okay.
skeptic score.
Okay. The measurement continues.
Second question. Ghosts?
Yes. Okay. I do believe in ghosts.
So so that means you've definitely had a physical experience with them.
I've experienced a small handful of some weird, crazy stuff.
You got a good brief one you can tell us?
Yeah, okay. So I was renting a house. It had a pretty high ceiling, like 20-foot high ceiling, and a really old ceiling fan, okay? I'm sitting, and it's right above my computer. I'm at the computer, and I actually hear a voice, okay? And it says, go sit in the front yard right now. And I'm like, no. Like, what the fuck? It's like, go right now. And I'm like, I'm just saying this in my head. I'm like, no. It's like, go sit in the front yard right now. I'm like, fine, Jesus Christ. I'm going crazy. I sit in the front yard. My roommate comes home, and she goes, what are you doing? I'm like, you're not going to believe this. I heard a voice that said, go sit in the front yard. I was only out there 2 minutes. I'm like, I'm a crazy person. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Go inside. The room had exploded. The ceiling fan had fallen. And this thing was like an old ceiling fan before regulations. It was made out of like a lawnmower motor, thick glass, thick metal. And it had fallen and like ping ponged around the room. My computer chair was 50. It was a very long, narrow room. My computer chair was 15 feet over there. Everything was shredded, splintered. I would have died for sure. And I don't know what was going on with that, but that happened.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. It's wild. So there's one.
That's
I love that you said
crazy.
No twice.
Yeah, because I skew more skeptic, and I'm like, no, I have schizophrenia.
Was
this
it
is insane.
Yeah, that's my question.
No
was it,
voice. No.
It was like was in my own head.
Was it definitely a voice, or was it a feeling that you?
No,
gave
it was
a voice
it was
to?
It was words. It was words.
Was it your voice?
I don't know. It might have been.
Crazy.
But I like because at the time I'm just like I'm a crazy person. I haven't slept enough. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't do drugs, so it couldn't have been that.
Oh, well, just do
you
drugs,
know?
Man.
I just, yeah. So at least I would have had an excuse, right? So there we go.
Wow. Fuck. Okay.
Super fucking weird, dude. I can't explain it.
When you walked in there with your roommate, did she think that you were making an excuse for breaking the place?
No. Well, she was a devotee of a religion. So right off the bat, she's like, "You have you're protected." That was a guardian angel. Holy shit! So I walked in. Thank God, I told her. I was sitting in the front yard, going like, "I'm a crazy person. This just happened. I'm doing it. I've only been here 2 minutes. But I'm getting bitten by mosquitoes. It's cold out. Go inside." And I call her in. I'm like, "Dude!" And she comes in, and we're both like.
Wow.
It took me it broke everything, not the computer, luckily, but it like broke
yeah,
my printer,
goodness.
Broke my chair, broke my desk. You know,
oh my gosh,
wild, dude, yeah.
Where was
Whew.
This?
Altadena. You want to go crazier?
Oh,
you want to go crazier?
Altadena is so haunted.
The dude. Oh, you're gonna fucking love this. The dude who lived in the house before me worked for NASA JPL in the department of I don't want to say the alien department. But he drew concept art of what alien worlds might be like. And I had
job?
Reason to believe.
Why
well,
do they have a guy on the payroll that just does that?
Well, because he started like in the early 1900s, something like that, as a comic book artist. And then he started doing sci-fi novel covers. God, I wish I could remember his name. I could find it very
Radical.
Easily after this. And then NASA JPL said, "You're very good at drawing like sci-fi stuff. Can you just be the concept artist of our theories mm-hmm. of this?" So then he went and worked
wow.
at NASA JPL.
That is
and,
a cool job.
And they have their own weird occult history.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
You know what
do.
I mean?
Yeah.
So that's where with no facts I could put behind this, I go, maybe there's something with the previous.
Yeah.
Isn't that wild?
Yeah.
Check your basement.
I actually
have a basement.
Yeah. Well, I did. Well. I checked the garage, just uh-huh. unrelated, and I found a bunch of really old stamps. And I'm like, I'm a millionaire.
Because
uh-huh. There are stamps from like 1901.
Oh, wow.
And they did go up in value by like 300 times, which meant they went from like a quarter of a penny to like being worth $3. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But also this guy, while living at this house, tutored Frank Sinatra
Ooh.
In painting. Okay. Because Frank Sinatra was a fan of this dude's comic books back in the day. And then I think a more retired Frank Sinatra, I don't know if I have the timeline right, went to his hero and got painting lessons and made an art show called The Little Pumpkin Series. And it was of naked girls. And I'm like, my bedroom was what used to be the painting room in this house. And I'm like, Frank Sinatra in this room. Interesting. Maybe. So
what is the
That's
why is
awesome.
It called the little pump? Is that what he
I don't know.
Ladies?
Google it. There's the people in the chat room here. They're already Googling Manly P. Hall.
Hey,
see.
Little pumpkin.
So.
I'm Frankie Blue Eyes here.
Maybe he likes butts and he just calls them little pumpkins.
Right?
Yeah. Who, yeah.
Put your little pumpkin on my lap.
Pumpkin patch.
Hashtag Frank.
Third question.
Yeah, I'm trying. If Willie would stop grossing me out. Put your little pumpkin on my lap.
Gross, dude. Don't say it again.
Third question. I'm trying to think of what it is. Bigfoot.
I don't believe in Bigfoot.
Cool.
If ever I was given reasonable
week
evidence.
This guy gets insulted.
Yeah, and we went through this went on the Kali Fantecchio Seafoam Centennial episode. That's how I'm here.
Yeah.
You asked the Bigfoot question. No, I don't believe in Bigfoot, but prove me wrong.
No, fair enough. No one here does.
Maddie and her sister, though, they were like, my dad is in the woods doing a documentary about Bigfoot right now. And I was like, what?
What?
Pooh-pooh-coo?
I forgot about that.
Did it come out?
I don't think so. Not yet.
Fourth question. Psychics?
Psychics? Can we define psychics? Like predicting the future or being in touch with subtle invisible intelligences? Blah, blah, blah.
Extrasensory.
I think you define the
one. I kind of feel like it's up to you to define
okay.
it.
Yeah. I'll define it loosely.
Okay.
And then I'll answer it.
Yeah.
I do believe that some people pretend to have these subtle abilities, and I also believe some people do have the abilities to at least communicate with subtle intelligences. I'm not so sold on predicting the future. However, there's logic to it. I'm not going to say predict the future. I am going to say that there's more to mental energy than we can scientifically measure with current materialist standards. So yes, I do believe in psychic phenomena.
All right, last question. Do you believe in the simulation theory?
It's a really good one. Again, we have to define simulation theory. Are we in a video game?
I feel like for this one, the more broad definition is acceptable. I don't think you have to pinpoint, like, yeah, are we the Sims or are we, you know, trying to cure cancer for some other fucking, yeah.
I don't think we're in a computer, but I do think that reality is a limited form of energy and there must be a larger quantity of energy outside of this time and space three-dimensional realm. It's beholden to rules, and if theoretically we could ever go outside of time and space, then maybe, and this is we're playing with like fringe science here, time and space is a physical object. Thus, we could, a higher form, a higher consciousness could look at time and space as a physical object and be like, oh, there's the Wild West. Oh, there's like 9/11. Oh, there's when Stephen went on this show talking about Bigfoot. And then, and also like, you know, where it ends, because it seems to be physical reality will end eventually. Thus, that container called the beginning of physical reality and the end of physical reality, if viewed from an external source, would be one object that could be perceived. And thus, maybe we could call that like a simulation because there are the laws of physics and stuff. Maybe those are like the video game engine. So I'm not going to say we're in a computer. I'm not going to say we're in a video game, but there's something simulation-esque going on.
Are the laws of physics concrete, or do they keep changing?
It seems to be, and I'm no science PhD, but underneath the speed of light, there seems to be the like a baseline law of the laws of physics. Like, oh, when something has this much mass, it has this much gravity. Okay. And then everything's sort of like a battery in the sense that nothing holds infinite energy. Everything is like could pull in energy, hold it for a while, and then loses it via entropy. Okay. So there's these basic rules, and then everything is beholden to those rules. That seems to be. But then maybe if this is Einstein stuff, if we go above the speed of light, then maybe we're above time and space, and then that's a different view now, above fifth dimension type,
right? Stuff. I always say, like, in our perception of the universe, the rules are pretty concrete.
Exactly. So for where we are, we're in the cage called time and space in entropy. But what if we were above that? Then it'd be a different view, maybe, right?
Yeah.
You know, there's that whole story, Flatland, which is a fictional narrative told from the perspective of two dimensional beings meeting a three dimensional being. And they're like, what the fuck? Have you seen this? Like,
I haven't seen it or heard it, but I think about that a
okay,
lot.
Okay, yeah. So, and I won't get into it because it's kind of like a lot to explain. But basically, we can't conceive what's above time and space. But we could pretend what it would be like if there was no up, down, left, and right. Contra code. We're just in a land that's flat, two-dimensional. And then so us three-dimensional beings, we could look at almost like looking at like a flat Pac-Man screen. We're looking down on it going like, oh, they only know left and right. They don't know up, down, left, and right. You know what I mean? What if we could peek our head in there? We'd be this thin little slice and go like, there's this other world called up, down, left, and right. Mm-hmm. And they'd be like, fuck you. That's not real. They couldn't even fathom that shit. So like maybe we're like that. Right.
There's a circle that passes through exactly. Every now and then.
Yeah, exactly. And that's how it's depicted.
Is that like based on the Carl Sagan thing where he like puts an apple on a...
Yes. Well, I think Carl Sagan is talking about this idea.
Oh, okay.
I don't think he came up with it.
So this kind of predates him?
I think, God, I wish I knew. I don't remember who came up with this, but it's the general way of like looking at dimensions.
Right.
First is a dot. Second is flat. Third is up, down, left, right.
Yeah.
Fourth is, well, we pretend, oh, it's a tesseract. What the fuck is that? Oh, it's a 3D cube and a 3D cube that's always moving. Or yeah. it's the end of Interstellar. You know, like we try. We try. It's feeble, but it's cute, you know?
Well, so you're not as skeptical as you would have led us to believe because you're a 3 out of 5.
That sounds. I would hope for like a 2.6, but yeah. That's cool.
Well, no, you're a 3. I'm sorry.
That's I'll take it. I'll
I
take
think
that.
Three sorry, is good. It's hard to get a 3.
3's right in the middle, man. You're like right there. It's good.
I like that. I'm a scientific method dude, but also I believe that we have yet to figure it all out. So you know that's kind of where I sit, right?
Yeah.
Well, where's let's that? Figure some shit out
let's
here.
Figure tonight. It all out in really? The next 35 minutes and 34 seconds.
Hit Hell us yeah. with that topic.
Tonight on Real Life Sci-Fi, comparative philosophy. The show is only an hour, but let's get into comparing and talking about different philosophies, myths, different cultures. What can we learn about ourselves tonight? What should we learn about ourselves? Common grounds? Aliens? Is the study of different philosophical traditions and how they are similar or different helping us to experience tomorrow? Tonight on Real Life Sci-Fi.
That was beautiful. well worded.
Thanks. Half of it was not worded.
So, I mean, so we're in your wheelhouse here.
Oh, for sure.
Do you guys have any sort of like starters?
Do you want some of my starter questions?
No.
Side note, someone said Flatlanders was written in 1967.
No. 67 Flatlanders. Oh.
Trying to read the chat.
67. So when was Sagan was 70s kind of?
70s, 80s, yeah.
I
mean, he was around the 60s, but.
I have a question, Stephen. What got you interested in comparative philosophy? Because it's like, it's such an interesting topic that I feel like people don't just like fall into. You know what I mean?
For sure. There's a couple different ways. I'll tell you the biggest one. And it's smaller than you might think. It's not religious or mystical or anything like that. It's actually I like being creative.
Mm-hmm.
Being a creative person fucking sucks. 'Cause you have this urge to do something that hurts. And after a long process of hurt, you reach a point when it's done and then upon its completion, that might hurt even more when it sucks or people don't like it.
Mm-hmm.
Yet then you go back and do it again, or I go back and do it again. So then my question as a little kid was, mm-hmm. what is creativity?
Mm-hmm.
And all the aspects of that. Why?
Hang
when
on, I'm sorry,
look
where
at,
are you from?
I'm from I was born in San Francisco.
Okay.
So I grew up right outside of San Francisco.
Okay.
And follow up to that, what did your parents do?
My mom was an accountant and my dad was a drapery installer.
Did you grow up religious?
I did go to. I was the only not rich kid at a preppy Catholic school, and it made me hyper. So this might be part of it. It made me hyper cynical to religion because I just saw a bunch of hypocrites.
Uh-huh.
A big thing. I actually just wrote an article about this a few days ago. Everyone in church would be like, "Peace be with you, peace be with you." Then like road raid each other in the parking lot, and I'm like, "This is stupid." So the religious part of all that didn't give me any complex good or bad. I wasn't like, "I hate all religion" or "Religion's cool." But there was a great science teacher there, Mrs. Crayolo. So I fell in love with the scientific method.
Her name was Crayola?
I was right there by the Lawrence Livermore Lab. And I was on the path to be a scientist at the Lawrence Livermore Lab. I won a big like national science fair. And as an eighth grader, they brought me in to hang out with them as they decoded the human genome.
Cool.
This would be like the late 90s. And also, I got to watch them break ground for, is it the fission or fusion laser that they have going? So anyway, I was like super into that. So then the scientific method and my love of it and just being a nerd. And I was actually really into like carnivorous plants and biology type stuff.
Uh-huh.
So then that combined with the creative urge thing just made me ask questions.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you follow the scientific method questioning, which is just hypothesis, observation, experiment, for the invisible things. Well, one, you reach psychology, the study of the invisibles called emotions and thoughts. And you go, well, what are thoughts? And then my obsession with creativity, what is creativity? What is creative energy? How come when I look at certain paintings, hear certain music, I get goosebumps. I feel overflooded with bliss or an emotion. Why? Why is that unlocking this? Mm-hmm. So you just keep asking the questions. You start reading experts who talk about this stuff. And then it starts to touch the mystical and the spiritual and the religious sometimes. But with my skeptic mind, my scientific method mind.
Well, you're a three.
Exactly. Well, I might have been less than a three, but I actually, for fun, I go and I hang out with monks and nuns and priests, and I go out to dinner with them and ask them millions of questions. This is more than a hobby. This is like I'm a detective in my spare time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I go to Tibetan empowerments. Just a few weeks ago, I went to Sri Karuna Mai's thingies. She's a living saint of Hinduism. Oh. And by the way, I'm no religion. I have no religion, by the way. So I'm just like a tourist in all this stuff. And I go, what's this? Why? What's this? Why? What do they do? That's really fucking weird. Why?
Huh.
Oh, that's actually, that kind of makes sense. And the big one, symbolism. Surreal art. What's the deal? Like, there's like this snake doing this weird thing. Why? Or there's this a goddess who's naked, who has skulls around her neck, stepping on a blue dude. Why?
Yeah.
And then you ask them why, and they're like, oh, it's like mythology, psychology. We're just trying to talk about either, we're talking about science, we're talking about emotions, we're talking about the general process of all things in time and space. You know what I mean?
You're lucky to have people that have answers like that. You know what I mean? Because I feel like in different situations, there are people that define it too much, especially when you're mixing into the religious world.
And sometimes you get people who are certain. And I'll listen to them, but I think we need humility, because until we could measure this stuff and repeat it predictably, the way we've done with so many things, the wonders of technology we have, or the wonders of chemistry that we have, observable, understandable, repeatable.
People can build until computers we can do in their that, living rooms now.
Say what?
People can build computers in their living rooms.
Yeah, Wi-Fi.
Now.
What the fuck is Wi-Fi?
Yeah.
You know, so until we get to the point where we understand these mystical concepts the way we understand Wi-Fi, you know,
do you think
we have to have humility.
Do you think it's understandable, though?
That's a great question. I think people...
Isn't this a wild goose chase in a way? Or is that the fun of it?
This is where it gets interesting. So... Here's where it's a little bit of bullshit. I think it has to be experienced. The great metaphor is you could read a million books on what a mango tastes like,
but you can't smell.
Eventually, you need
what
to eat.
It's like in the Sistine Chapel.
Sure. Eat the actual mango. You know what I mean? So then it's like, well, then how do you eat the mango? And then
I should have went with your metaphor and
the mango,
done the mango thing.
What an ancient church smells like. It probably smells like dust and mold and maybe some incense.
You know? Yeah, probably, but you don't know.
I love the idea of a ghost trying to explain the afterlife to somebody. Sit down. I'm trying to tell you about this.
Yeah, what would they say?
But what is the key? Is there like a key sort of philosophical, I don't know, like tent pole or understanding that everyone is sort of working, branching off of? Or is it fucking Wild West?
No, I think there's a couple good, solid, simple words, but I'll say one. Evolution. Right? Okay, so when we look at evolution, what are the commonalities between everything, including atheist material science? Okay, there's this nothingness. We don't know what it was. Then there seems to be some kind of Big Bang. Okay. The Big Bang shoots out the base subtle stuff that then congeals together and becomes denser stuff. Then we have elements. Then we have like a dead planet called Earth and it, you know, in a solar system. And then somehow things start popping out of it. And the things first are lifelike, but not alive. First there's rock. Then there's a crystal, not alive, but it grows, quote unquote. It eats the minerals of the water it's near. And if it's not near that water, it's not going to grow. So that's kind of like eating. It's not alive. Okay. Then you jump to the next octave. There's a plant. Well, a plant contains crystals, sugar crystals, for one, to hold solar radiation. Okay, now that is alive. So it's like a crystal with a little more willpower, and it's holding something called life. I don't know what life is, but it's holding this energy called life, and it has a little bit of point A to point B. I want to go over there where the food is, the sun or the water. Okay, so it goes over there, but it's real slow. So then evolution pops us into animals, which are like plants in the nervous system and the respiratory system and the lymphatic system and the neurons are all very plant-like, right? Okay, that's interesting. So an animal seems to be sort of like a plant in a crystal with a lot more volition, a lot more power to connect point A to point B. All we're talking about is the ability to connect point A to point B. So then we get humans. Oh, now we have our prefrontal cortex. Wow, we could like reason and we could do stuff. We have thumbs, right? So we could do yet even more. And then as humans have evolved, we've gotten better and better at connecting point A to point B. So then maybe there's a next octave of us where we connect point A to point B better. And the challenges of yesterday aren't challenges anymore. Almost like a metaphoric immune system for an entire species, right? Mm. So then you go, okay, I just talked about science. That's just normal ass science right there, evolution. And maybe some details are wrong in what I just said, but we could say life seems to go from dense to subtle, from a rock or a crystal or a plant to an animal to a human. Dense to subtle, unfree to more free, dumb to smart, ignorant to wise. Then religion, spirituality, mystical systems could start to chime in and go, the next step of evolution is using our mind more. Okay, and that's mystics might say prayer is a real thing. Mm-hmm. Psychism is a real thing. Mental energy is a real thing. Vibes are a real thing. Mm-hmm. You can do things with them. You could train yourself to have bigger muscles of using them.
My question
maybe,
is,
maybe, you know,
what is the A to B of trying to figure that out, like mysticism, religion, philosophy?
Yeah,
like why is that happening? Plants don't do that, animals don't do it, why do we do it?
Well, yeah, so it seems to be, and now we're in the realm of questioning, like nothing I say has any certainty.
Sure.
I'm just sort of like summarizing the greatest hits, and of course I have my biases, okay, and I might lean into some of those biases.
So
if evolution is dumb the smart, unfree to free, subtle the dense, etc., in essence we're just able to hold and use more flavors of energy. Plants could only use a little bit of energy, and then here we are using all these types of emotional energy, all these types of mental energy, and then almost we're at this point where we're smart enough to have the willpower to choose, oh, do I want to invest in short-term appetites as a way to numb myself through life?
Yeah,
sure, that's cool.
Yeah.
Or might I see that eventually that gets boring and I seek more? And this is another question, like with the artist people are like, oh, I need to create art. Why? There's no evolutionary advantage to that unless there's something we don't understand in the way of using and expressing energy. Long story short, the big mystical people, the religious people, because I'm not hyper disciplined, by the way, I might know this stuff, but I'm not super disciplined. I actually just want to be happy. But I don't think you could aim for happiness. You could aim for becoming healthy mentally, physically, and emotionally. So you get sick less. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's kind of what a lot of these practices, at the very least, are saying. Get sick less by aiming to grow. And then now the second we go, well, how do you grow? What is the right goal? I dare not understand or say what is the goal. You get into books like the Bhagavad Gita, which is not a Hindu book, but it's quite Hindus and Buddhists love it. It's very Eastern tradition. They kind of have this idea that each person is born with a dharma or the thing you're built to do. Doctors are given energy when they are doctors. Chefs are the same when they cook. Mothers do that when they're mothering their children. And they're like, find what yours is. And work as hard as you can at that, whatever it is. And you must choose because you're an adult. We can't tell you what that is. Mm. Have the critical thinking grow into the ability to think for yourself and go, here, when I do this, I am enlivened with energy. And with that energy, perhaps the rest of my physical, mental, emotional systems use that energy to become more fit. And they kind of say that's all you're trying to do. Now, they have end goals like, leave the physical realm. You know what I mean?
Well,
stop reincarnating. That's a whole bunch of other stuff.
But that seems contrarian to art. Because isn't art just like pain and trying to make sense of what we're doing?
Isn't giving birth to a child the same? Isn't if there's a theoretical mind that gave birth to all things, why did it give birth to all things? Why give birth to things? I don't know. But that's
because everything's bad.
That's one of those natural cycles. Well, yeah, and actually, there's a lot of worldviews that physical reality is an evil place because we experience lack. We don't have everything. We don't have all the knowledge. We don't have all the energy. We are always dying. We're falling apart because we'll never have enough time to accomplish everything we want. Happiness is transitory. Once we have a satisfaction, we want the next satisfaction. Some say physical reality is a hell realm. Others say it's a school, like a CrossFit.
Sure.
And others say, who knows? It's just a place, and then we experience it and we die. I have a conclusion, but I love exploring all of them. No, of course.
But don't you think that like subscribing to a religion is giving up on the journey of trying to figure out what this is?
I love that question because I literally just wrote an article about it the other day. And it's sort of like, how about this? Because I've seen a lot of good come from religions, and I've also seen nightmares come from religions. So let's say both.
Yeah.
It depends.
Right.
But at the end of the day, and remember, a lot of respect for religions when they're helpful, and fuck them when they're abusive and all that shit. I think at the end of the day, if they're not teaching you to think for yourself, you're a perpetual child. I think religions can be like parents who hopefully give you data that's useful for when you enter the real world as an adult. Modern society, be it religions or otherwise, isn't so happy about or isn't so supportive of people becoming adults. So religion, I think, could be, or spiritual systems could be, giving you the goods to then go, now I got to try it on for myself and figure it out for myself. I hope I was given the right trivia, data, and advice, but inevitably I have to challenge it, I have to experience it for myself, and then maybe it's useful, maybe it's real, maybe it's not, maybe half of it was good and now I could be useful and successful in this way and gotta figure it out in that way.
I mean, I would love it if people who were subscribed to major religions would have that critical thinking, but they don't. They check out. They go, well, this is the way it is because that's what I was told. And if you don't believe that, then fuck you.
That's that is stagnant. That is dead.
Right.
That is closed-minded.
Yeah.
We need to always be looking forward. I think it's dangerous. And this even goes just to go into basic-ass school. Oh, yeah, I absorbed all the knowledge. I am a trivia sponge.
Well, yeah, no.
That's not what I learned from Professor blah, blah, blah. God, that is the worst type of smart person. The trivia parrot.
I think
George Orwell called them gramophone minds. They just repeat the record. And I don't care if that's religion. I don't care if that's physics class. I don't care if that's editing class. I don't care if that's film class. Film needs to keep pushing itself forward, or we're just gonna have endless Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny, saltine cracker, generic movies that just follow the formula.
Oh, a scathing review.
We gotta push it forward.
It sounds like you've seen it.
I have seen it.
Okay.
And
so
it's okay.
The results are.
It's
the
like,
results
like,
are in. It's
like eating saltine crackers for
is
dinner.
Is it better than Crystal Skull? Where do you rank them? Rank the four.
Oh my God. Raiders.
Okay.
Crusade. Uh-huh. Temple.
Yeah.
Ooh, Crystal Skull is a piece of shit, but it's got Spielberg magic and it has his dark humor and it has his cinematic tools. You know what though? Fuck it. Crystal Skull's better than Dial of Destiny,
no.
Even though Dial of Destiny is actually a better movie.
Wow.
I know. This would be a four-hour conversation.
Shia LaBeouf and the monkey hair and everything?
Oh, God. The monkey shit was so bad. It was so bad. I was in the theater in 2008. Arclight Cinerama Dome, just like...
I was there. Friends. I was there.
Like, why? He's swinging with monkeys?
Yeah.
Why?
And but you would still take Crystal Skull over Dial of Destiny?
Yes, because it's
wow.
Because Spielberg is intentional. He tries things. He's quirky.
Wait, did he direct that?
Crystal Skull, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's why it feels good, but it looks weird.
Yeah. Well, you know, his mom had an emotional affair with his dad's friend, and they had
Spielberg
to move.
Spielberg or
Indy? Is this Honey Boy?
Isn't this?
Is
wait,
this
am
Boy?
I wrong? No, I'm right.
You're talking Fablemans.
Fablemans.
Oh, gotcha.
Jesus. I'm sorry. I have not watched Fablemans.
It's autobiographical, isn't it? Or no, it's just biographical. Semi.
Inspired by.
Yeah.
Sorry to bring it back to
no, please.
Our topic.
Bring it back to the weirdness.
What are some interesting similarities or differences that you've noticed among different philosophical traditions during your research?
Yeah. One of them is, how about snakes? Snakes is a fun symbol thing. It's in every major religion has the snake symbolism, especially in the weird stories and the very weird art. Garden of Eden, Kabbalah, it's going up the Tree of Life diagram. In the Vedic traditions, like Lord Shiva has around his neck for one thing. So to summarize, what might that mean? And I'm gonna grossly oversimplify it, but there's use in this. It seems to represent, and this goes back to what we said, the energy of the physical. Mm-hmm. Meaning there would be something called the non-physical or above physical, which is all, I mean, religion's always like, what is above the physical? Mm-hmm. You know, what's in the divine realms, the higher realms, whatever. So snakes, why? Why would they use snakes for this? And it's really interesting because a lot, it generally seems to have the same bullet points. First off, ancient symbolism, they didn't have literacy or science books or the internet. So they looked at nature. And it's just metaphors. So they'd be like, oh, the energy of the physical. Well, what is the physical inside of us? How about that? The energy of the mental, the emotional, and the physical. And the energy of those three things in us is wild, like a snake. It's like this, mm-hmm. like a snake. It can bite you. You know, like we all have our bad habits or like, you know, I just want to go to sleep. I got a meeting tomorrow and your brain's like, blah, 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 blah. You can't control it. You know, and it's biting you. It's hurting, metaphorically biting you.
Snakes on a brain.
Yeah, and then snakes, I think, you know, some, there's snakes. Oh, my God. That,
sorry.
That took me 5 seconds.
I had to throw it in there.
No, but then the metaphor goes, but if you learn to domesticate, if it's aimed downwards, there's sort of this general belief that the bottom half of our body is the animal half. Reproduction, digestion, making waste. That's what we share with all the animals, mm-hmm. below the diaphragm. Above the diaphragm, we start to have our higher faculties, literal or symbolic. The heart, okay, like love or higher life force energy. Our ability to vocalize words. That's pretty cool. Our brain, which we could reason with and blah, blah, blah. Okay, so the top half of us is the higher machinery, the human machinery. The bottom half of us is the animal machinery. When the snake is pointed downward, that is sending the energy towards your animal faculties, mm-hmm. which you can't evolve if you're only an animal. Mm-hmm. But if you're animal and human, you can move forward. But if you're just food and fucking, you're not going to like climb the corporate ladder. How about that? You're going to be like an
animal. Depends on how rich your parents were.
Exactly. And you know, like, this is an imperfect statement because food and fucking does get people very far. So let's just take it with grains of salt. Humility. Okay. Snake going down, powering the animal machines. Snake going up, powering the higher machineries. You got the Kundalini, and they're like, it's powering all of your machineries and then some. It's opening up a portal to the higher. Okay. So snakes, they're poisonous or venomous, depending on the snake. But if you understand advanced nature, like medicine, you could turn the venom or poison into a medicine if used correctly. Mm-hmm. Well, that's a great metaphor of what to do with the energies of the mental, or physical or emotional. Mm-hmm. Handle it correctly. Aim it up. Handle it correctly. Turn your wily cravings into the energy of medicine. What is medicine? Well, whatever. Mm-hmm. Whatever you uniquely think is medicinal to yourself or others.
Booze.
And also, they can shed their skin. So we have the ability to actually grow our physical energies. Mm. It's evolution. It's psychology. It's just learning lessons. It's becoming better at a skill, whatever you want to do. So there's one.
That's all very well put. But I think it's more like the reason that your cat gets scared when you throw a cucumber behind it. Snakes are scary. And we should run away from snakes.
Okay.
Right. I'm glad you said that because I always laugh at interpreting symbolism as more simplistic than these people have the same brains that we have, these ancient cultures.
Yeah.
But we subscribe to them knowing less, thinking less, and there's so much more to it. And I mean, I'm just saying, I love like bringing up Kundalini and like snake going up, snake going down. And
Well, Willie, I wanted to ask you, do you have any, because we got 12 minutes. Oh, do you have any like weird batshit stuff that you want to talk about?
Yeah.
Well, I'll just start with, I know that Well, let me just ask a quick question. Do you study more in your realm of what you want to learn? Do you focus more on the way people are living, or do you pay attention to what people believe of death?
Interesting. More how living. Very little of death, except that it's important to think about death and realize it's an inevitability from our perspective. But no, more how can it be useful? If this shit's not useful in the everyday, I'm not that interested. You know what I mean? Like, how could this be applicable now? Oh, cool, snake symbolism. That's some nice trivia. How can I actually become a better person, or at the very least, like, work harder or be more disciplined or something? Because I think when people actually are in control of their energies, like, we fuck up society less.
Number one thing that you, from your studies that you've done with philosophy and everything, that you've applied to your life and that has made you better?
This is an interesting one. So my favorite symbol of all symbols, and this is why we're here, because we're on Kali's show, is actually the symbol of Goddess Kali, which represents life energy. I'm going to oversimplify. We could just say life energy itself. So what's an easy way to think about that? Well, it's the thing that we are that then, like, we know we're not our mind because our mind doesn't listen to us sometimes. We know we're not our body because, say, I want to eat healthy and there's a donut. I'm eating the donut. Or emotions, like, oh, I just got, I'm going through a breakup and I'm real sad. How about I just stop feeling sad? Oh, I can't control it. It's kind of a machine that's part of me, but outside of me.
Never thought about it that way.
So then what is the thing that is powering and looking at mind, body, and emotions? Mm-hmm. And the best we could say, especially with our 9 minutes left, is life energy. I don't know how to define life energy, but it's what, when I die, it leaves. Yeah. So I must be that. And the vehicle of mind, body, and emotions is what the life energy is energizing. Using a car almost, and interacting with so deeply that we start to identify with it, but we're not it. And actually, with the snake metaphor, real quick, in Hinduism, they have Shiva has the snake around his neck. It's his loyal pet, because mm-hmm. that's what you want to do with it. You don't want to be like, oh, gross, my human body is bad, 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 bad. That doesn't seem to work. Mm-hmm. It's more like you make a collaboration with it. The way you collaborate with your pet, and then it loves you. And that's why in Lord Shiva, a symbol, we could say, of a perfected physical entity. How about that? The physical energies are a loyal pet hanging on his shoulder. Like, what's up? I love you. I'll do what you want, but I'm not messing with you.
So it seems like what you're saying is, forgive me for putting words into your mouth because I could be way wrong. What you're saying is we're driving cars right now. When we die, we leave the car, and at that moment, you would either be happy about what you did in the car or completely regret it, right?
Yeah, and afterlife stuff, I wouldn't say is a specialty of mine. I mean, I know what the various people believe. Some could say you reincarnate, and actually lives themselves are like schools until you've learned every lesson, and then you're done.
But I fucking kind of hate
Moksha
that.
Moksha and samsara. So, yeah, you don't have to subscribe to it because I can't prove it. I don't have a reason. But it goes, oh, that could make sense. There's always cycles.
I just feel like that's like the fucking carrot on a stick. Kind of way to live your life.
And it could send people down some weird path. So wait, what was your question though about this?
Well, fuck. I don't know. I guess I just like if we are just like operating this machinery, are we combative with the machinery? Or like what? I guess what I'm saying is what is the point of life? Which is like not something we can sum up in 7.5 minutes. But that's kind of what we're trying to do, right? With philosophy.
The best I could say, and this goes back to my whole thing about creativity. Like, I'm happy when I engage in creative activities. And there's a couple creative disciplines I like. I like metal sculpture. I like filmmaking. Why?
But
I don't know.
But you're definitely like an outlier because you...
Well, but it doesn't have to be creativity. It could be, I don't want kids ever.
God, me neither.
That would drive me crazy.
Yes.
But I know some friends of mine are such good parents, and all they want to do is clean up the mess their kid made, help the kid with homework. They glow when they do it.
Mm.
I know someone who is very good at cooking, And when she cooks, she is glowing. She's not even like a professional chef. When she does it, she's happy. It like balances her.
Yeah.
So I think the best we can say to answer your question, because we have to be rational about this, and I'm no fucking guru expert here, so I don't have the answers, but it seems to be in practice.
Listen, we're not looking for answers. This is just discussion. Well,
but there does seem to be, when we find those things we like doing, that number one, aren't going to break us the way like a heroin addiction will break us, but bring us benefit. We enjoy the process of doing it, and how about this? When energy moves through us, the side effect often seems to be health and happiness. Seems to be. Whereas we're stagnant and we're, you know, and we're dead and we can't get out of bed, and the energy's not moving through us. That seems to be depression and sickness, right? Seems to be. There, a good metaphor of this, I'm not going to go too deep into it, but water is generally a symbol in esoteric symbolism across all cultures. Water is generally life energy. And when water is stagnant, what does it do? It attracts disease,
gets mosquitoes.
Parasites.
Yeah, so many mosquitoes. That's like why a water plant. Yeah. LA needs to keep moving.
And we seem to be kind of like that as entities. So how about this? The enemy is stagnation of your waters of life energy. And when we're moving it, and when it's clean and it's fresh, it seems to be vitalizing parts of us.
The most interesting question that I could say to that would be, what if the thing that you think is giving you energy is actually making you stagnate?
Well, that's actually when they say, one way to look at it is short-term appetites versus long-term goals. Short-term appetites can often lead to stagnation. I say often because there's no one-size-fits-all dogma here. But how about this? If you only ate donuts every day, you're going to get diabetes. You're going to get, you know, mobility will be hard. You're going to be more tired because the whole blood sugar thing, whatever. Yeah. Or drugs. You do heroin every day. You're going to feel in bliss, but eventually you're breaking the machinery. Mm-hmm. So is it breaking the machinery or is it making the machinery stronger? That's one way to assess.
And no, I'm sorry, Willie.
Go.
Well, I just meant more like there's people in Hollywood, they will never make it. Me, for one. They don't understand that they won't ever make it, right? Because there's this thing in your brain going like, no, it'll be fine. You can make it eventually. That's a horrible life.
That's a tricky one because then, I don't have a full good opinion of this myself. Relying on the external is a difficult thing. Because the external is transitory, feeble.
So even if it gives you energy, it doesn't matter if you're successful at doing it?
Well, how about this? I'll quote something that people like, and I try to stick to it. I'm a work in progress of understanding it myself. But again, the Bhagavad Gita, they say, find what you love doing. Work very hard at it. And the second it's done, do not invest in the fruits of that labor. And then go to the next project. Now, here's the question mark. Money. Money's cool. Money's important. I don't know how money fits into all of this, but I do know is I have a lot of hobbies and I love doing them and they often don't bring me reward, except I like doing them. I don't know
why. Like putting a puzzle together.
I love puzzles. Yeah.
It's a serotonin thing, but at the end of it, you put the puzzle back in the box and it's like you never did it in the first place.
Yeah, and then of course now let's just get introspective. Is this just a dopamine game?
Might be.
Is this a serotonin trap? I don't know. Yeah. Right? And that's where critical thinking comes in. And
it would explain a lot about drug addiction, alcohol, fucking all that shit.
Like, I actually love escape rooms, by the way.
I fucking do too, man.
Oh, shit. Okay.
I've done 100.
Well, a lot of my friends who don't like it, they go, wait. Okay, so first you're not in an escape room. Then you pay money to be locked in a room. And you struggle and stress. And the goal is to end up where you started before you spent money, but you've spent money.
Talk about oversimplification. That's not it, man.
And I go, because the journey's cool sometimes.
The journey, I mean, but that's the old fucking cliche. It's not about the result, it's about the journey, right?
But
not about
the destination. If we zoom out and look at how feeble and impermanent life is, like everything we do is
everything
pointless.
Is that, exactly.
So, you know, we have this drive to meaning.
Yeah, I spent $60 on an escape room. Shut up. I solved the puzzles. Made me feel good about myself.
Yeah.
Now I feel like I'm not an idiot.
So there, it's almost like, and what is that? is that stupid or is that cool? I mean, you're right. Is that a life well lived or is that a dopamine trap and we're just fooling ourselves? Is that meaningful or does nothing have meaning? I don't know.
So what nihilism, right? I mean, we're running up against the gun here.
Oh, no. Time is fake, though. That's okay.
Time is definitely fake.
Oh, no, we're inside time. Time is real.
But right now we're inside time.
Yes.
Because there are people waiting for us.
There's
so,
1 minute and 34 seconds.
Cyberpunk Megazone in 2 minutes.
We've got to wrap this up. And I fucking could talk to you forever.
I'll come back whenever you want.
Stay for the more?
What's the more?
It's after
this.
Yeah,
sure, whatever you want. So I want to talk to you two more, too. Jeez. But I love skepticism.
I know. Well, it's weird because I feel like I don't know if I was overbearing on these.
No, by the way, skepticism is the most important element of this shit I like exploring, by the way. So you're important here.
So we're going to continue the conversation.
Yes.
Stephen Reedy?
Reedy.
Reedy.
Good quick plugs.
Go to patreon.com/reallifesci-fi if you want to continue this conversation. Quick plugs.
StephenReedy.com or look up my classes on the Philosophical Research Society website.
R-E-E-D-Y.
Yeah, I'm going
to
take one.
StephenReedy. I'll just send them to you. Cool.
Guys,
thank you.
You got 40 seconds. Do with it what you will.
You could take it.
Quickly, why it's weird. I have a 5-year-old and I explained to him that Godzilla could just be walking around having a good time, and he could be affecting other people in a negative way.
Shin Godzilla? Which Godzilla?
It's really not
yeah, Shin
Godzilla.
Okay.
Wow.
All right.
Aaron?
20 seconds. We're going to slowly say my goodbyes.
What?
Over the next couple weeks, right?
You're saying this now.
Yeah.
With 10 seconds. Aaron's leaving the show.
10 seconds left.
Wait, you're leaving the show?
Yeah.
In a couple weeks.
I don't know why you wouldn't have said that before there was 10 seconds left.
Because it's fun to see the end.
Every just because you're paranoid doesn't mean they're not after you. Thanks for watching.
Bye.